Rav Shimon Baruch, we begin Dav Zayin Maseftas Ma'id Katan. We begin the top line of the Amud, where we continue to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding different things that are permitted to be done in Chol HaShemayid. So regarding the halacha of trapping that of mice and of moles, so the Tanakam had said that you could do it in a normal way on both a stay Elon and a stay Halavan on Chol HaShemayid and on the Shemitah year. On that, our Gemara quotes from a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he said, who in our Mishnah is quoted as the Chachamim, but it's Rabbi Yehuda, that he says you could trap Misteha Elon Kedarkai from a field of trees, an orchard, you could trap in a normal way, because that's a great loss. Misteha Lovan Shalikadarkai, but from the tree of the grain, it's not such a loss, and therefore we require you to do it in a abnormal way. So, Tarma Lun Labraisa, Kate said Kedarkai, what does it mean? How do you trap in a normal way? So, Chayver Gumer, you dig a pit, and you hang a trap, which it comes out of the pit, and it gets stuck into the trap. That's the normal way. What's in the abnormal, the not normal way, is noyed sha'apud. You stick in a spit where they frequent, these creatures. And you hit it with a hatchet. And you flatten the earth beneath it, and it crushes them. That's how you trap them in the abnormal way. He says, when they said, as we said from the halacha of the Chacham Rabbi Yehuda, that when it's a wheat field, then you have to do it in Shalei Gedarka in the abnormal way. They only said this, only if it's a wheat field that's near the city. So again, it's not such a loss. They don't cause as much harm as you do by an orchard. But if you have the wheat field that's near a field of trees, then that Shalei Gedarka, then you could even do it in the normal way. Because they might go out from the wheat field and be achriv and then destroy the trees, and then you could trap them in the normal way, even from the stay alav, and even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Continuing the loch of the Mishnah, we said that you could wall off a breach of a wall that collapsed. You could wall it off on b'mayid on chaylish amayid. Says the Gemara, so how do you wall off? You wall the breach of this wall on chaylish amayid. So Bisvam he says it's behutza. It's with the branches of a palm tree, the dafna, and the branches of a laurel tree, which is that you make the actual wall from the laurel, and then you bind it together with the branches of a palm tree. Misnitotan and the Brice we learned that tsar b'tsrar. What you do is that you bind it with a rock, meaning you put rocks one on top of the other, and that's how you close up the gap in the wall. And ve'inotach b'tet, you don't even smear it with mud, you just do, again, we're trying to say the basics that you need just to breach it up, which you're not supposed to do malacha on Chol HaShemayid. Now, however, Amr Rav Chizki qualifies this halacha, and he says, Leishon, we didn't learn in the Mishnah that mekaren, meaning that you could only like close up in some type of a weak closing up of the gap, but one would not be able to build the wall in a normal way. It's El Kais al Hagina, only talking about the wall of a garden, which is not such a loss if people go in over there. Aval Kais al Chatzar, but regarding the wall of a courtyard, which as Tosafot says, we're talking about from like, that's open to the Rishus HaRabim, not necessarily from another person's courtyard, well then bind the Kedarka, then you can build a normal way, because there's a great loss of thieves are going to be able to come in and steal his money. Let's say a Braisa supports this statement, because the Braisa says, if you have a wall that's leaning over and bending over to the public domain, so it's Saiser Ubein the Kedarki. You could demolish that wall and rebuild it in a normal way, which we're talking about the wall of a courtyard, which that's what supports Rav Chizda, that you see that, yeah, when it comes to the Chatzar, unlike a garden, you could build a normal way. As the Brisa says, because of the danger that it shouldn't fall on those who are passerbys in the street. So it's like, Gemara, what do you mean? Hasam Kediktani Taima. What do you mean? The Brisa says, why are you allowed to rebuild in a normal way? Because of the danger. Because it's dangerous. It's going to fall and collapse on people. So you're allowed to demolish it and you're allowed to rebuild it. But generally, we wouldn't say that even if it's the wall of a courtyard, that you could build it in a normal way. Because, I mean, those actually say the opposite. Toshima, the Gemara says, that's being a raya. It says, Kaisla Goichalish Rasarabim, that if you have a wall that's leaning over onto the public domain, Saisra Rabbein the Kedarki could demolish it and rebuild in a normal way. Neasakana, meaning not just fixing things, you could just build a whole new wall. Neasakana because of danger. Sounds of Neasakana in, only because of danger, yes. Shalem Neasakana Le, but if there wasn't an element of danger to the passerbys in the street, then you would not be able to build it. Let's say that refutes Rav Chizda, because he said that the wall of a courtyard you could build a normal way, unlike that of a garden, even though there's no danger. And here you see, no, only if there is a danger. So, not that it's supporting him, this version said it's a refutation of him. Rav Chizda would tell you that no. Hasam over there, that we learned that it's only in a situation of danger, is because you're being seiser or baina. Is that when the wall is tilting, you let it demolish it and then rebuild it in the normal way. That requires, because it's danger. Hachav here, Rav Chizkiya said, even if there's not a situation of danger, you can build in the normal way, is baina v'loy seiser, is just building without demolishing, where it was already demolished from beforehand. But you're not demolishing a chol shemayim. When do we say that you could demolish and build to do both those? That's only a situation of danger. If there's no danger, then you cannot demolish and build, but if it was already demolished, then you could go ahead and build. So the Gemara asks, well, Hasam Nami. Well, then, there also, when it's a situation of danger, why don't you say Lister? Just let him demolish it because you're saying there's element of danger. V'lo livni, and not build, because building is not a situation of danger. So if you tell me that you could only do one, not the other, so when there's no danger, you could only build and not demolish and build. So when there is danger, why don't we just let you to demolish and not build? So if that's the case, that you cannot build, then the person's going to hold back, he's not going to demolish the wall. And then there's going to be a situation of danger. So to allow, to facilitate that there shouldn't be danger, we say, okay, don't worry, you can demolish it and be able to be rebuilding it. So there, it's not difficult on Rav Chizkiya, because Rav Chizkiya is talking about when you're not demolishing, you're just building, that he holds you could do even without danger, because that's unlike that of the Gina, which is not such a loss. Chatzar, you could build it even initially. And Amar Vashi says, Masnit Nama Deka. A Mishnah also seems to be precise like Rav Chizkiya, that it's only by a garden that you cannot build it on Chol HaShemayim in the normal way. Kedektani, well, in the Mishnah that said, Ubishviyas, Boyne Gedarka. We had two halachas, Toma Chol HaShemayim, and on Shemitah, that we said you could build it in the normal way in Shemitah. That's how the mission ended. We said umakaran is a pitzav b'moed. The chol shemayim you could breach it. You could just fix the breach. And Shemitah you could build in the normal way. Now says the Gemara Dehecha, which wall are we talking about in Shemitah you could build in the normal way? Ilim the chatz. If you think we're talking about a wall of a courtyard, shichle meimah. Do you have to say why? That's no iser. You could build on Shemitah. You can't just do agricultural work. Elav, rather, obviously, the chiddush that we're saying is the gina. We're talking about a garden. And we're telling you, in the garden, you let it build in Shemitah the wall in the normal way. And what that is a chiddush, because Avagav, the mechzi commander of an interior slipid, although it might appear like he's trying to protect the produce that's inside, we're saying we're not concerned with that, and you let it build the wall initially on Shemitah. But on Chol HaShemayim, in the garden, is what we're saying you cannot build in the normal way. No, we could infer from that this halacha was said specifically regarding a gina, regarding a garden, but regarding a chatzar, even in Chol HaShemayim, you would be able to build it initially in the normal way. The next mission again continue on this theme regarding the halachas of Chol HaShemayim, regarding certain leniencies. So he says, Roinis in the goyim. In other words, the kayin looks at the negav tzaras on Chol HaShemayim to see if it's a negav tzaras or not, only lahakal. Only as a leniency if he's going to purify it. Avalo lahachmer, but not as a stringency. Meaning if the Kohen sees that it is tummy, he's not going to say anything, because if he would make it tummy, so it comes out he's causing pain to that person on Chol HaShemayim, because now he has this negav tzaras, and it was verified, which it requires the verification of the Kohen. And the Torah says, in the Devarim Tazayim, he's supposed to be happy in Yom Tov. So therefore, he could look at it only as a leniency, but not to make it tummy. But Chomer, the sages say, loy lachol, loy lachmer. No, we don't have the Kohen look at it, not to be lenient and not to be stringent. So Tanya Lina Brice elaborates, Reb Meir Omri says, Roinus Negoim, we look at the Negoim, this is Reb Meir in the Mishnah, lachol, like we said, to be lenient, if he's going to be metarit, but loy lachmer, not to be stringent. Reb Yaisa Omri, who that was the Chacham in the Mishnah, said, loy lachol, loy lachmer. No, not to be lenient and not to be stringent. You know why? Shim'at niskek le'lahakal, because if you're going to require him to go look at it as a leniency, niskek le'af lahachmer, you're going to require him also to be stringent. In other words, once he sees it, the Kohen's going to say what it is, where he says it as he sees it, whether it's tummy or whether it's tahar, and therefore you might be in a situation where you're causing more harm, and therefore he's not going to look at it at all. So Amar Rebbe makes the following comment regarding this machlekes. He says, Nirin divri Reb Meir, it would seem to be the halacha is like Reb Meir, that you do look at it when it's bemuzger, because the truth is, when you're talking about a mitzayra, there's different stages of a personality, which the Gemara is going to explain, of mitzayra. There's when you confine him, what's called muzger, you put him in quarantine because we're not sure the status if it's tamei or tahar. And then there's also mukhlat, when he's confirmed to be, and then when he goes through his tahara, his purification process, and then when he's totally tahar. So it says Rabbi, the halacha would seem to be like Reb Meir, that you look at it when he's confined, as we're going to explain, because there's no stringency whatsoever anyway, so you're going to be winning more than possibly losing, and therefore you look at it, again, lahakal v'lo lahachmer. But the Reb Yisi, and halacha is like Reb Yisi, where it could come out to be worse off if he looks at it, which Reb Yisi holds that you have to say then, that so therefore you don't look at it. When does it appear that halacha is like that? Is b'muchlet when he's a confirmed mitzvah, where he has the tumah, and we're just not sure if he's going to become tahar or not. Some Rav, he explains this statement of Rabbi. He says, b'tahar, when the person's tahar, he has a presumption of tahara, and now he has some type of a stain on his body, which maybe is tzaras, maybe not. So kulam le pligid le chazal. Everyone agrees that on chol shemayit, you're not going to go out and look at it because we want it to be stay tahar. We want for samach b'chagecha. So everyone agrees you're not going to look at it. Behez gerishain, where there is halacha that if a person has something which is not definitive, if it's tamei or tahar, we put him in quarantine once. If it's not definitive again, we put him in quarantine a second time. So he went to him in the first quarantine. Then, in that situation, if we would say he's tahar, so he'd be very happy. If we would not say that he's tahar, you wouldn't be making him tummy. You're not going to make him any worse than it originally is. You would just maintain the quarantine a second time. So then the kulam will plague the chazalei. So says Rava, in that situation, no one's going to disagree that you do take a look. Because even Rabbi Yisri says you have to say, fine. So I'm just saying it is what it is. And it's and Taisa discusses, well, can't it make it worse? Can't he make it mukhlid? Taisa says, so it's in the beginning of the week. And then you can't make mukhlid yet. So, but be that as it may, everyone agrees that all he's going to be doing is maintaining the quarantine. And if anything, you're making tar. So everyone agreed, then you take a look then. So, keep pligi, but the machlekes we have in our mission between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yisi is, and continue to Medbei, is behezger sheni, is by the second quarantine, where then you can't do quarantine a third time. Then it's got to choose. It's going to be either tomei or tahar. Nothing changed, it'll be tahar. Now, in this situation, if you're going to say he's tomei, it's not just going to be furthering the quarantine. It's actually going to be definitively what's called muchlet, and that actually is a more severe tumah than just the quarantine, the confined. Here he's confirmed, and then you're going to be causing him pain. So that's where we have the machlekes Reb Meir and Rabbi Yisi. As the Gemara explains, Mar, the master, Reb Meir, who says that you'll take a look at it, to be lenient, to say he's tar, but not to make him tummy, he holds b'koyin talya milsa. It's up to the discretion of the koyin, where if he's going to make him tummy, he'll be tummy. If he doesn't want to make him tummy, he won't be tummy. So therefore, go ahead, take a look as a leniency, and not to be stringent. Eat tar, if it turns out that it's not a bad color anymore, he's tar, so I'm going to lay tar, great, now he could have some chazyamtim, he's not even confined. If he's tummy, shasik will be quiet, he won't say anything, and he won't become tummy. So therefore, you're not going to lose anything. And if anything, you can gain. Whereas Amar, Reb Yisi held that, he says, no, don't even look as to be lenient, because Savar, he holds, the Pasuk says of Yikra, letari letamiksim, the Pasuk says that he takes a look to purify or to make him impure, where if the Kayan takes a look and he sees his tummy, he cannot be silent. Because the Pasuk says he has to choose either between Tahara and Tumah. And maybe it's going to be tummy, and this is the second week of quarantine, and you have to choose now, and he's going to have to make him a tummy mukhlet, and he's going to be causing him pain, where he's going to be tummy on the yomtiv, and therefore that's the machlek is, says Rava, between Reb Meir and Reb Yisi. Now, the Gemara goes back to the statement, Omamar. The master said on Oman Aleph that Omar Rebbe, we had the Brisa, Rebbe said, Nin Divrei Reb Yisi, it appears that the Halachas of Reb Yisi that you don't take a look, but Mukhlet, like we said when he is regarding a confirmed Mitzayra, and the Divrei Reb Meir, B'Musker. And however, the Halachas of Reb Meir that we do take a look, like we said, by Musker, when he is confined. That's the version that we said from Rebbe. So the Gemara says, "V'tani epcha." We're in the Brisa exactly the opposite. The Rebbe says the halacha is like Reb Meir that you do take a look by mukhlet when he's a confirmed mitzayra. The halacha is like Reb Yisi that you don't take a look by musker when he's confined. So how do we understand this inverse opinions of who the halacha would be like? Which again is regarding: are we going to gain more by taking that chance, which is the idea of Reb Meir, or we're going to lose more? Like, which that's the point of Reb Yisi. That, and therefore we're not going to take a look. And so which one's which one could we gain more? Is it by Mukhlit or by Muzgir? That would define, or lose more, and that would define Rabbi Yisi of, so which one are you going to be worse off now if you're going to take a look? So it says, actually, Tanoi hi Alibi de Rabbi. Yes, these are two brises, and they're two opposite opinions, because those are two versions according to Rabbi, because Mar, the Tana, the second brisa, in the name of Rabbi, who said that when would Rabbi prefer the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that you do take a look. So the second version had it, that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir by Mukhlit, where, and the halacha was like Rabbi Yisi, that you don't take a look by Muzgir. Why in those? Why is it in that order? Because Savar, that Tana held, Tzavsa di Alma Odiflay, a social companionship is preferred by a person. So therefore, when the Mitzayra is Mukhlit, when he's a confirmed Mitzayra, then the Kohen's going to take a look. Why? Because if he's going to say, you're Tame, so he's not making him any more Tame than he was originally. If he's going to say he's Tahar, he's going to make him happy, and here we're saying by Mukhlit, because Mukhlit has already confirmed the Mitzayra, and if he's going to say he's Tahar, he's going to be happy, because now he's permitted to go into the Machne Yisrael, be amongst all the Jewish people, and he has all the social company. Now, although, actually, what's interesting is that although he's now Tahar, he's actually forbidden to have marital intimacy with his wife in this Tahara process, but he prefers to have social companionship. So therefore, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir when you're a Mukhlit, the person would prefer to take that risk, and in the, because he's going to gain more than what he's losing. Meaning, we're saying like Rabbi Meir that you don't save the stringent element, but you're gaining more because the person wants the social companionship, which he didn't have up until now. Whereas the halacha is like Rabbi Yisi by Muzgir when he is in quarantine, where Rabbi Yisi said that you don't take a look at him. Why? Because again, Rabbi Yisi says you have to say, and maybe he's going to become Tamei, where he's only Muzgir now. Which, yeah, he has certain limitations, but if you make it into a Mukhlit, he has to be sent out of all three Machnas. Now he has no companionship whatsoever, he has to be away from everyone, and you're going to be painting him, because the social element is primary. So that's what we're really taking into consideration. That was the second version of Rabbi. Umar Sabah, the Tana of the first Braisa held, his version of Rabbi was known Tzavsa de Ishtaya Difale, a person prefers the companionship of his wife, of his intimate partner. Oh, so therefore, that version held that we hold like Rabbi Meir that you do take a look on Chayla Shamayid regarding Hezgir, which is regarding the second quarantine, where he's only confined, where, because if you're going to purify him, you're going to make him happy. How so? Because even if you're going to make him Tameh, which we're saying would be concerned for the opinion of Rabbi Yisi, even if you make him Tameh, and you would make him into Mitzur Mukhlit, and you're going to send him out of the three Machnas, and you're right, he's not going to have social companionship, even so, he's not going to be in pain, because he still has the companionship of his wife, and he's actually permitted to be secluded with his wife during the days of when he's a Mitzur Mukhlit, when he's a confirmed Mitzurah. Whereas the halacha is like Rabbi Yisi in this version, by Mukhlit when he's a confirmed Mitzurah, that you actually don't look. Because even if you would make him Tahar, you would still be paining him. Because even though he's permitted now to come back into Machne Yisrael, he would be in pain. Because he cannot have his wife's company, which is forbidden, because when you make him Tahar from his confirmed Mitzvah that he had up until now, he has to count what's called Sheva, he has to count 7 days. And those 7 days, that what's called the Yimei Svira, after his Mukhlit that he was purified from, he's actually forbidden to have marital intimacy. Like the Pasuk says, V'yishim mechutz la'olah shibas yam, for those 7 days, he has to be out of his oihel, and the oihel, his tent, means his wife, like it says, shu lechem la'alechem, and therefore, that's what this version would say, no, it's not worth it, the risk, even what you're gaining, you're losing more, because although you're getting the social back, you're losing the wife. That's the two different versions of Rebbe. Which one, when we're saying to take the risk when you're gaining more versus what you're losing, which is the differences between Rabbi and Rabbi Yisi, that is taking into consideration, well, what do we prefer more, the social or the intimate partners, and hence that's the inverse machlekes in Rabbi about which one do we prefer, in which case, in the Mukhlit and in the Muzgir, is that like Rabbi Meir or like Rabbi Yisi. But says the Gemara, the Mem, is that to say, one of the presumptions we made in the previous discussion, the Mukhlit Mutu B'Tashma Shamita, that a confirmed Mitzayra is permitted with Tashma Shamita, which we discussed that. We said that when you're going from Muzgir to Mukhlit, that you're losing your social companionship because he has to go out of the three Machnas, but he's still going to have his intimate companionship because he's permitted to have marital intimacy with his wife in Mukhlit. And actually, going from Mukhlit to the Tahara Sphira process, that also that's could be worse off, because even if you make him happy that now he could come back into the machna, but he's actually losing the relationship with his wife. Is that really so? The mukhla is permitted with tashmash amita? So, and yes, because Batanya learned the braise, it says the pasuk in Bayikra, when he's purifying himself, his svira days, counting after his mukhlid, it says v'yasha mukhutzal alei shibas yam, that he has to be out of his oil, meaning away from his wife, for 7 days. She also batashmash amita, that he's forbidden in marital intimacy. Now, because v'ein oiloi ele ishtoi, and it says out of his tent, out of his home, it means can't be with his wife. Shnemak says the pasuk in the bottom, Lech omalem shuv lechem lo lechem, that Hashem told to Moshe, tell the Jewish people, go back to your homes, which before Mount Tabor they were forbidden to be intimate with their wives. And you see that oil means a person's wife. V'yudayim, he says, the pasuk says in Yecheskel, Shivas yom yisperu loy, 7 days they should count for him, which tells us that yimei sviroi, his days of counting of his purity, that's when he's forbidden the marital intimacy, but v'lo yimei chilute, not the days that he was as a confirmed tzaira. Which we see, like, yes, during his confirmed tzaras, actually permitted marital intimacy. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, no. Zayin yimei sefira, you're forbidden marital intimacy the 7 days of counting after you're purified. And kavachayim yimei chilute, for sure you're forbidden to the wife, then the days when you were confirmed as a mitzaira. And v'amr b'chir, b'chir says, danti lefnei rabbi, he says, I was litigating this in front of Rebbe, meaning who that's the Tanakama of the Braisim. And I said to him, Lamadatenu Rabbeinu, but our teacher, you taught us the following idea. The Yoisam, Lahoyaloy Uziyahu, he was not born to Uziyahu, Elevimechilutai, only during the days when Uziyahu was confirmed as a Mitzaira, meaning the mother of Yoisam could only have conceived when his father, Uziyahu, was a confirmed Mitzaira, because Uziyahu was a Mitzaira, and he obviously was not able to be intimate with his wife when he was counting, rather must have been in the days when he was confirmed Mitzaira. So Malay Rabbi said to him, yes, Afani Kachamati, and I said the same thing. I said that a Mitzaira is permitted marital intimacy, because the Yashem Chutzal Ali that I said was only the Yimei Svira, and not in the Yimei Chilut, on the days of the confirmed of Mitzaira. So it's my Kamifliki, regarding what are they disagreeing over here in this Braisa. So Bishbi who the Savar, he held that not only is Yimei Sfira Aser, but also the Yimei Cheluta Aser, because Galil Achmada B'Yimei Sfira, the Torah is revealing to us that the intimacy is forbidden in the days of the counting, for Koshkim B'Yimei Cheluta, for sure in the days of when you confirm, because if anything, one should be less severe when you're already purifying yourself. Whereas the Marasav, Rabbi Yehuda held that, no, my the Galil, what the Torah revealed, it revealed. My the Galil, what it didn't reveal, and therefore, we're saying that, you know, Yimei Sfira is going to be forbidden, but not Yimei Chiluta. And again, that's like the idea that we said, that those opinions hold, that Mukhler is Mutter, but Tashmash Amita, and therefore that's what we had explained in the opinion of Rebbe, who he's the one that holds like that, and we have these two different versions in Rebbe. Now, the Gemara asks, both according to Reb Meir of our Mishnah and Reb Yisi. Reb Meir says explicitly that if the person is Tamei, no problem. It's only, we're doing it for leniency. If he's Tamei, he'll just be quiet. Rebbe says, no, don't look. Because the inference is, according to Rabbi Yisrael, he holds that if he wants to not look, he could. If he does, he's going to have to say. But one thing is that if you don't want to look, you don't have to, and therefore the person won't be tummy. Says the Gemara, the Mem is that to say the B'Koyin telling Mesa that this is all dependent on the Koyin? Again, depending on how much he could hold back of either just not saying or just not going and looking at it, but it's all dependent on him. Says the Gemara, and yes, but time like learned in the Braisa. Plus says in Mayikra, says, on the day that the kohen goes to see the raw flesh of the person, if he sees that it's a neged tzaras, the yitma is going to make it tummy. Now, what do we see from this? When we're saying it's dependent on the kohen and it's up to his volition if he's going to check it out or say that it's tummy or not. Because yes, when it says uvayim, what do we mean on the day? Because there are certain days, yesh yom sha'at eroi, but there are certain days that you, the kohen, will take a look at it. Yesh yom sha'at eroi, but there are certain days that you will not take a look at it. What does that mean? From here they said, Chasan Shanel Benega, if you have a groom that he developed a nega, we give him this, what we call the Sheva Brach, the 7 days of celebrating, then we're not going to take a look at it, because we might make it tummy. We don't want to ruin his wedding celebration. And actually, that's life for him, his body, Ulabesa for his house, Uluksusan for his garments. If there's a nega that's on his garment, we don't take a look at it. Chemiregel, something applies to a yomtiv for everybody. We'll give the person all the 7 days of the yomtiv. And that's the Rebbe Yehuda, because you don't want to ruin the B'samechta B'chagecha. Rebbe, I mean, says, in a tzarech. You don't need to come on to the sources that you're bringing, because the pasuk says Yikra, says Vetziva Kain, the Kain commands, Ufinas Abayis, and they clear out the house before he goes and takes a look at it, because he wants to make it tummy possibly, and we don't want everything inside to become tummy. So first clear it out, and then I'll take a look. Now, says Rabbi, Imam Tinuloy Lidvar Shos, if we wait for the person, then we're not going to make it tummy until he gets time to clear out everything, all his vessels that's in the house. And we learn that from there, that a tum of a person's body will also wait for even a l'dvar harashos, for something volitional, like similar over here, because if we find that a tum by a person's body, then that will wait for dvar harashos, like we see from the halacha of the kohen, will wait till we get a person's vessels out of the house. So then kol shekein, all the more so, we're going to wait for l'dvar mitzvah, for a mitzvah like a chasen and on the yomtiv. So we don't need your pasuk to teach us this, because even by things that are not mitzvah purposes, like just a person's vessels, and we'll wait for his vessel, so we could presume we'll wait for his body too. So if by dvar shus we'll wait for sure, we'll wait for dvar mitzvah. So Zimma Maiba and I, what's the difference between these two interpretations of Rabbi Huda and of Rabbi? So Mabai says, Mashmur's Dershon the Gibbonai. The only difference between them is where do they see fit to expound it from. One expounds it from one pasuk, one expounds it from another pasuk, but there's no halachic difference. But Rav Amai says, no, dvar shus the Gibbonai. The difference between them would be a volitional, something that's voluntary. Rabbi Huda, who learns it out from B'yoyim HaRoizbay, that certain days you'll look and certain days you won't, and from here he says that you learn it regarding a chasen and regarding yomtiv, well, that's only a mitzvah purpose. Then we'll wait and we won't make it tummy. But regarding a dvar harashos, something that's not a mitzvah thing, we won't wait from making the person's body tummy. Whereas Rebbe held that no, even for a dvar harashos we'll wait, like he sourced it, that he learns out that a person's tumma of his body that will wait, just like we wait by the tumma of the vessels of his house, which that's a clear halacha of, they to wait till they clear out the house. Now, the Gemara explains, Rabbi Hudam, who doesn't hold like Rabbi, that you learn that from that, and therefore why do you need a special pasuk for mitzvah, and Rabbi Huda holds, no, it's only by mitzvah, he says, no, mehasim over there, when we wait till they clear out the vessels from a person's house, look, I mean, you cannot learn from over there that you see over, even the varshus, because the chiddushu, that's a novelty, that you would have such a halacha that you would wait for making tamei, something that's a chiddush you cannot learn out from, because wherever there's a chiddush, what's called in l'chadav be'el chiddush, we only have what the novelty is. Now, what's the chiddush of this halacha exactly that we cannot learn from it? As the Gemara continues up with Chesem and Elf, because the eitzim regarding flat wooden vessels and vavan ba'alma and regular stones that the person has in his house, generally limitama, they wouldn't become tamei. V'hach over here, yet in the oil, we're saying mitama, they're going to become tamei. So that's a chiddush in this halacha. So once this whole halacha is a chiddush, you cannot learn out to say that, oh, you see that we wait, and therefore we'll wait by the person's body. No, maybe that's a distinct halacha over there, and not by a person's body. So therefore he says it's only by dvar mitzvah, as we're learning out from the pasuk of the Yom HaRois, whereas V'Rebbe, Rebbe would say, in other words, that Rebbe, although he learns out tumah of a person's body, from a tumah that's not a person's body, even for dvar shus, like he's learning out from the halacha of the vessels of the person's house that we wait, and he knows that from Betziva Kohen, that the Kohen commands to clear out the house, still he says, Itzrich, no, you need the Pasuk of Bayim HaRoiz Bay, which is the Pasuk that Rabbi Huda is bringing down, to tell us that you wait. Why do you need both? Because the Ikaz Rechman, if we only had the Pasuk that Rabbi Huda brings on the day that he sees it, which sounds like certain days yes, certain days not, so I mean, I would have said, yeah, like Rabbi Huda says, L'dvar Mitzvah, and only for a Mitzvah purpose, like a Chasin and the Yamtiv, then you will wait. But for something that's not a Mitzvah thing, you wouldn't wait. That we have to say the pasuk, the kohen commands to, you know, wait till we clear out the stuff in the house. That's not a mitzvah thing, and still we wait. Now, but because Rachmana b'tziva kohen, that the Torah only said that one, which that should be sufficient. Why do you need a special pasuk for a mitzvah? Havimina would have said hani in only these things, the lav tuma de gufe, that they're not a tuma of a person's own body, that the vessels of his house. Maybe that we wait. But regarding tuma of a person's body, I would say that actually you do have to look at it right away. In other words, that you don't learn out tuma of a person's body from a tuma that's not a person's body for the halacha of a dvar harashus from the pasuk of a tziva kain, because, yeah, like Rabbi Huda said, I would have said, oh, it's a chiddush. But generally, these types of vessels don't become tummy. Therefore, you need to have the pasuk of b'yom haro'is to say, what's b'yom haro'is? Looking at the person himself. That's the tumah of his body. And we see we do wait. What do we wait for? A dvar mitzvah. Yes, but since we find that we do wait for the tumah of a person's body, at least for dvar mitzvah, so then once we see that there's waiting for even the person's body, now we have the ability to go and learn it from the tziva hakayin, which, yes, we wait for a tumah not of a person's body, but we could go ahead and now draw that also the tumah of a person's body, even for dvar shus, even though it's a chiddush, because ultimately we do see waiting for dvar shus, and we do know that we would wait for a person's body, albeit by dvar mitzvah. So therefore, tzricha, therefore you needed to have also the two psukim of v'yom hara oisboy and the betziva koyin want to tell you that a person's body, want to tell you dvar shus, and then, so you can do the two of them, dvar shus in the person's body, which is that we wait even if it's not for a mitzvah purpose. That's what Rebbe holds, and therefore he says that that's your linyan, not just for a chasin and for a regal. He says, no, it's not only for that, even for Devar Rishus, you would wait for a person and not necessarily be metamed right away.